things and
long slides.
That's fun.
What a treat to them. Primarily tonight from Melbourne State, whatever I think. It would be nice to be around Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 playing all of them. You know, thank you very much, guys. Thanks. The practical message tonight is your life characterized by malignorance. And that is your name's secrets. We sing the song Channel Rome, and we are channeling from God to the world in which we live. And that's just part of that, the message of that song. But is your life characterized by abounding grace and not your ones without that? Whether we are in the church and so I'm going to go to the show. Romans 5. So I want to, that's really that. We'd like to have an introduction to this passage. We are often tempted by the thinking that to life in performance of law is how we gain ourselves. What does the standard say? We religiously study to know what the exact boundary of our guideline and standards is, so we can fulfill that and then finally be free. Our brotherhood agreed safeguards can be interpreted as a law. And tonight, a law is not grace. Law is not grace. If our law is often what we practice and accepted by our peers and impugned, our law is often practiced is what is practiced accepted by our peers and impugned around us. So we look around and we say, okay, that's what the standard is, that's what I need to do. And we look at what we should do by what sister so-and-so does and brother so-and-so does. Exact grace. We're only concerned, are we only concerned by a set of rules? Are we partakers of the divine nature? That's a real question. If we're only concerned about a set of laws, are we really partakers of divine nature? And is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us? Is our religious experience? Now, this is a question, practical question for you all. Is our religious experience a set of rules, a set of do's and don'ts that leads to judgment of our performance in fulfilling them? Or a way to judge our fellows in the pew? Or is the Christian life like this? And let's sort of turn to Romans 14 here, this new pagan's way. Romans 14 and verse 17. And that verse says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. And what?
Joy.
Joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what Christianity is all about. And that's the ideal Christian. It's not meat and drink, not the performance of ritual, not the performance of standards. And I'm all for standards. I don't want to get overboard and think that people all think that I've gone goofy or something. But the Christian life is righteousness. We walk after God's will. We do the right thing. We don't tell lies. We don't get angry. and peace. We have joyful, peaceful relationships. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, I ask the question. How many of you are finding joy in Christian love? Should I ask for a raise of hand? No. A true Christian will live in the spiritual reality that his sins indeed are forgiven. And forgiven only by what? Only by what? How are his sins forgiven?
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus is a very good answer. But we call it mercy. We're forgiven by the blood of Jesus because he had mercy. Not because we finally fulfilled the law that we came up to. We came, finally got on the right track and we followed the law perfectly. Not because that was good enough or attained or performed the law well enough that we were granted grace. Well, we have grace through the transforming power of Jesus Christ. We are saved by his mercy. We are regenerated and renewed by the Holy Ghost. We are, you and I, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have God dwelling in our temple. And because we are in this temple, because he is in this temple, we are controlled by the very nature of God. Isn't that amazing? That's really something. That his grace works through Alice and Joe and Curtis and Jay. And so that makes it, when we have the grace of God flowing out of us, flowing into us, flowing out of us, and that means that our church is characterized by truth. How's our church characterized? That God is allowing his grace to come to us. His grace is flowing out of us. What happens to the road? What are we like? Well, we're like God. We're like God. And we take on the characteristics of God. Now, Titus 3 says, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That word renewing is a very interesting word. It means, I looked it up once, the definition of that, and it means alignment. We are aligned by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost dwells within us. And we are constantly renewed by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost works in us in various ways. He works through his word, for sure. He works through the personal Holy Spirit. And the body of believers is built up by, in Ephesians 2, by the Holy Spirit. So when the body works through, the Holy Spirit works through the Word, and works through your personal connection to the Holy Spirit, and it works through the body of believers. So don't discredit the church or any of the others either. He has said this abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Not just a little bit, but abundantly. Full. Abundantly. Abundant. We had abundance of rain. We had abundance of, well, we have abundance of grace through Jesus Christ our Savior. Tonight, let it flow. Can it flow? Let it flow. Let it flow in. Let it flow out. It'll take care of all the problems in the church. I promise. I promise. And then going on in Ephesians, it says that being justified by his grace, I'm sorry, I'm talking fast here, that being justified by his grace, and that word justified is a very interesting word, and you've heard it a lot of times, but we can be justified, and we can be, that means that we are just, we become just with God. We were condemned sinners, and we are justified by his grace, brought into righteousness by his grace, and we can be made of all things. We can be made of all things holy, and as just with God as God is. That's what it says in Ephesians 23 and 24. That's an amazing thing. We who are so vile can be made just with God. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are heirs with Jesus. And we can look up into the sky and we can say, Jesus, come, I'm ready to realize the hope that exists within me. Come, according to the hope of eternal life. Do you have it tonight? Can you look up in the sky without a doubt in your mind and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Some people look me better. Yes, I'm ready. Others will say, but the hope of eternal life, dear ones, is very important. That's why we live. One of the reasons why we live. What's important? And I'll tell you, dear ones, it's because of the grace. That the first age of Titus 3 says, this is the faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Titus, preach this. Affirm this constantly in the church. So tonight, I'm endeavoring to affirm this constantly. Listen to these words. I will that thou affirm constantly that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain what?
Good works.
Good works. What are good works? It says these things are good and common. We do things because we love each other. We help each other. We live for each other. Now, the dictionary definition of grace is, it's the unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration and sanctification. So tonight, to be a recipient of God's grace, of God's bounty grace, we need to follow some conditions that will help us, that will make it possible that we can receive this. Grace is the imparted life of Jesus. Controlling the behavior of the Christian, not through law, but through the influence of the divine nature, through his bestowment of grace, it affects all of life. Dear one, not just how we dress, not just how we behave, but all of life. Not just the things which we can measure, like how big the prince might be. We can measure that, can't we? 2 inch prayer. That's good enough. Well, now, grace of God is more than that. It's way more than that. Not just the things we can measure, but the grace of God can change our thoughts, change our associations, change what we read, what we look at on our cell phone, our response to the man beside the throne in the ditch, our will, our anger, our desire for worldly things. They can all be changed by the grace of God. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This grace multiplied and peace multiplied by the influence of the divine nature within us through Jesus Christ. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What a mouthful. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. That is really something. We at least need to go to counseling sometimes, don't we? Maybe the town's part of the All Saints that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Dear ones, that I can do. Jesus Christ can do all those. Bible says. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. How many of you, and I had to ask you that question very honestly, have the escaped mentality? How many of you have ever escaped from something? Raise your hand. You've escaped. What did you escape from? Said a couple. Old one said. Alan, I know you best, so I'm going to ask you. Peter. Carol. Okay? You stayed in the rear. I am a farmer. And I were sort of silos. And years ago, we with high moisture ground your corn in the harvest. And don't you know, when this harvest corn got down towards empty, the chain broke. It looked. And, it was really hard to figure out how we're going to fix this thing because the bead was almost down to the unloader in the mill, but there was a lot of bead up about 20 feet on the side of the saw. And so we got busy and started digging back in there. Finally, we got a tunnel back in there into the middle silo. And as we look back in there, we can see the chain back in there. We saw what we needed to fix it. But we looked around at each other and said, who's going to build it here? This board just walked there. And, I didn't want to go in there either, but I said, finally, I'll go. And I was back in there in those minutes. As soon as I got in there, this corn dropped down and was bending that harvest from somewhere. And there was no way out. It was 50 feet to the hole in the roof. And the tunnel we dug in there was closed. Couldn't get back out. So they finally dug me out. People outside dug me out. And I clicked the apple once again on that ability to teleport. Went for it and went out of that tarp store just fast as I could up and the knees. And I got out and I was out there in fresh air and I said, raise the doors. I'm free. I have a speech. I don't know what to do. Now I'm not talking about escaping from purposeless silence. I'm talking about escaping. How many of you feel that mentality towards me? We have escaped the world through violence. Let's go to Peter the third on the slot. Well, let's go back to Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1 says that therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We are standing in the grace of God tonight. Saved and being a channel of grace. You like that? Say amen. Amen. What a thing. Now, there'll be a lot of things we can read, but let's jump over to verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might fall. Moral law of God. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin that reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we hear people? Is there grace enough? We don't have to lose. What does it say? What does it say? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. Well, is illiterate. Now, Romans 6. There's a couple very interesting words. Praise to be good. Whenever I read the word, this face draws for attention. And when I read the word yield, face does for attention to that. And when I read the word to read the word reference, think about how that was, how to reckon. And yield is the final word. Three words, no reckoning yield. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? that grace may abound? Should we? God forbid. How shall we dead that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are dead to sin and live any longer therein? Lord, we question. Know ye not that so many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. What a wonderful thought that is, that if we go to being baptized into the death, we shall also be like him in the resurrection. Our bodies will come up out of the ground and we'll be resurrected and on our way to heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon, ye also yourselves dead, yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye give yourselves servants to obey, to servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed your heart that form of doctrine which delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness under holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in these things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and became servants to God, give your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the mutual of Christ. How many of you like to read that narrative? Well, if you want to take the end of it, tell me how to live your roots. Read and study. How to find grace. Things we need to know to be a person of grace. Things we need to know to be a person of grace. First of all, we need to know that we have been baptized into his death. Now, that's not a water baptism. That is an identification or a baptism with Jesus. And when you look at Jesus on the cross and his nailed arms and his nailed feet and his pierced side, and his lacerated back, and his messed up head with the crown of thorns, and the people wagging their tongues at him, and Jesus hanging there on the cross. Now I ask you tonight to appropriate that spirit. Just make it. See Jesus on the cross and say, and Martha, Joe Weaver, get baptized with him. Finding grace will not live in the same person. If you have pride, grace goes. Grace and pride did not make a one homogenous gray Christian. Pride or grace. We need to understand that. Repentance and omission of sin is the surest sign of being baptized into Jesus Christ. How about it? If you forsaken your sin, repented of your sin, and you must confess your sin. Have you? That is the surest sign that you're baptized. The basis for brotherhood church life is also being baptized with Jesus through death to self and humility. You know what? It takes a very humble person to be submissive to their brother. Romans 12:16 says, be of the same mind one to another. Mind on high things. When God be set, with man on God. Philippians said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant of all things, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, took upon him the form of a servant, and was even made in the likeness of man. What a condescension. What a way down. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and of all things became obedient unto the death of the cross. Now what did Paul say? Be like that. Be like Jesus. Have the same mind. And I want to just throw in a very couple practical points here. Contention in the church in result. My way is better. My background is better. I'm smarter than you. And pride can be expressed in many ways. Pride not being expressed in the inferiority of the way people think about themselves. But just remember that contention in the church is written, it's all of sin. Probably said, only by intention. Only by intention. Complete surrender says that we are done with the world and its allurements. We sometimes make a difference between sin and worldliness. Well, you're close to none. I hasten to add that worldliness is sin. Worldliness is sin because there's an image over here that you have that is not godly, and that's sin. The second thing we need to know is that our old man is crucified with him in verse 6. We need to hasten on. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, a lot of people have this pathway to victory. Romans 6 tells me that you apply the grace of God. Unless our old man is bleeding on the cross for Jesus, you will not experience abundant grace. The desire for worldliness is broken. The desire for excelling and witness for a name in the community is gone. The desire to add things to your pickup is gone. The desire to dress immodestly is gone. The desire to have a hairdo is gone. Our one and only desire is to please God. We are determined like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they said, our God, he can deliver us, kill King Nebuchadnezzar, he can deliver us if he wants to, but if not, then what? We won't serve you anyway. We won't bow down to the image anyway. Nebuchadnezzar, you got top customers in there. Tonight, a person that is 100% sold out in which way they want to go cannot hide idols in his life. They cannot set up, those idols cannot set up worship centers. They are, whether they're business or whether they're culture or whether they're a truck or whether they're a hairdo, those idols cannot be set up. Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Listen, dear ones, in a Christian that is identified with Christ, the dominion of sin, listen to this, the dominion of sin, the ruling power of sin is broken. Does Romans 6, is it closer to God? I think it's the word of God. I know it. Over and over again, I have found that church members in trouble with sin have stopped personal worship. They have lost out in Bible reading, church attendance, prayer life, associating and being a member of the local body. Dear ones, dying. How about a person who goes to God? Oh, we can talk more. I want to go to the second word. Reckon yourselves dead. Verse 11. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when you reckon something, you begin to think, you begin to appropriate, you begin to think about Jesus on the cross. You begin to think about my body is dead unto sin. Reckon ye yourselves. Start to close your eyes and start to reckon yourselves dead and dying unto sin. Oh, my dear people. Reckoning yourself is a way of thinking. We are dead, not thinking how my house furnishings can be like Better Homes and Gardens, but how best my house can serve Jesus. Reckoning for the Christians, thinking through our day and our planned events, does it line up with what Jesus went through. Reckoning is a place we take through the enticement involvements of the world, the YouTube videos that we watch, the podcasts we listen to, the preaching that we listen to, the business seminars that take us away from the 4 or 5 years old for days on end. We begin to think about what would Jesus do? And a whole bunch of other things. Reckoning yourself that indeed unto sin limits our negative critical thoughts toward others, but instead we begin to think in terms of grace and compassion on those whom we live among. How can I be a means of grace to Adam Leister? That's how we think. Battle our bitterness by reckoning. We get bitter towards others. We battle it. We think, oh, I'm reckoning. I'm dead. I can't be bitter. When our minds are fixated on how well we perform and how well we can preach and how well we can teach, dear ones, are on the enemy's side. The third word is Nina Hitzanon. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness, your hands, your mouth, your brain, your everything, your ear, your voice. That is your member, and yield them to righteousness. Oh, we begin to change our outlook when we do it, when we have Jesus. Jesus says, we are baptizing you into his death. We begin to yield our members to righteousness, instruments of righteousness. We start to do things. Our Anabaptist movement has excelled somewhat in this area, that we do things. We build each other barns back. We help each other with accidents. We do things that we cook meals. We visit the sick. We cannot be neutral. I'm going to get out of here. There's no gray areas. We cannot be here. We cannot say, oh God, you're over here. The world's over here, and we're going to have it halfway in between. Doesn't work. You don't have access to the grace that you should have. And your spiritual dynamic will not be that. We cannot be neutral. The persistent temptation for us is just not quite be so radical. We don't identify with Jesus. We want to identify with what goes for us. I was walking around in Wellsboro tonight for a while. Shorts. There were people there, but tattoos. And I want to condemn them all for that. They probably didn't tell me, but not for me. I can't do this. I can't do it. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Listen, our flesh can never do it. Our will can never win. We have to be infused with the grace of God. For as ye have yielded your members' service to uncleanness, as once we were driving the sports car and the jacked up pickup and smoking weed, and so forth, as servants, as we were servants to uncleanness, from iniquity unto iniquity, one sin right after the other. Even so now, yield your members as servants unto righteousness. As you have served the devil, you have now served God. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Are you ashamed of those things you did? Or are you doing a modified version of applying the law of the church and still those things? But now being made free from sin and became servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. James says, "Though the fountain is sent forth to the same place, sweet water, and the fig tree, my brother, they're all of your either a vine face." So can no help you go salt water. Salt water is impossible. You don't have the water. You either have salt water, you have the fresh water. You either are a means of grace, or you're not. You're a means of the way. It's impossible to climb down there. James also says, but the first thing is from above, is first field, then it's down the road. It's from the field. It's easy. All the mercy and mercy. Now, partiality. You know, he likes this congregation. There's five different flowers. There's different personalities, different people. You'll appreciate them all. Living without partiality. The other day, Dylan Randall wrote that just many of the people that come to the farm are sort of rednecks, hardworking, but this man claims he has a different people. He had a different smile, and he had a speech that was not contaminating swear words. His name was Jeremiah. And came to Israel. Jeremiah is a prince. He likes Jeremiah. And for a night, in their small community, family, church, relationships, and the job, you be like Jeremiah, be a means of abounding grace.